going to share with you two readings. The first one's a scripture reading. It comes from 1 John chapter 4, verses 11 through 21. And I am reading from the Inclusive Bible, but oddly, I had to edit this for gender and inclusivity. So if you don't think we've got some work to do, the Inclusive Bible needed to be edited for gender inclusivity. So just know that. It's a great Bible, though. I encourage you, if you're looking for a new Bible, it's really well done. Hear now these words, though. There is no fear in love, for perfect love drives out fear. To fear is to expect punishment. And anyone who is afraid is still imperfect in love. We love because God first loved us. If you say you love God, but you hate someone, you are a liar. For you cannot love God whom you have not seen if you hate your neighbor whom you have seen. If we love God, we should love our neighbor as well. We have this commandment from God. I got blessing and understanding to the reading of those words. I'd also like to share a quote with you from George Takei, actor best known for his role in Star Trek. He's also a queer rights activist. Who has this to say? The richness of our communities, our cities, and our nation lies in recognizing and celebrating our diversity. That diversity is not only in our various ethnicities and cultures, but also in the diversity of our sexual orientations. We all contribute, each in our own way, to strength, vitality, and the well-being of our society.
The song is by Sam Smith. From the perspective of a young man, maybe Sam Smith, and the title of the song is Him, all capitalized. Holy Father, we need to talk. I have a secret that I can't keep. I'm not the boy that you thought you wanted. Please don't get angry. Have faith in me. Say I shouldn't be here, but I can't give up his touch. It is him I love. It is him. Don't you try and tell me that God doesn't care for us. It is him I love. It is him I love. Thank you.
Message today is entitled LGBTQIA plus shoulds and one shouldn't for Christians. For those who somehow may not be aware, June is National Pride Month. Locally, our Pride Festival isn't actually until October 1, but throughout this month, other LGBTQIA plus communities from around the world will celebrate the freedom to be themselves. It's packed full of events and parades that not only celebrate LGBTQIA plus folks, but also lends a bit of encouragement to those who, for many different reasons, may not yet be able to fully be themselves openly. Very quickly, for the few that may not be aware, this month's queer history is rooted in the Stonewall Uprising, June of 1969, in New York City. In the early hours of June the 28th, 1969, police raided a gay bar in New York's Greenwich Village called the Stonewall Inn and began hauling customers outside. And that's patrons resisted arrest. A growing crowd of bystanders started throwing bottles and coins at the police officers. And ultimately, tired of all of the harassment and the discrimination from the city officials, New Yorkers' queer community rioted for 5 days. And the Stonewall riots ended up being one of the key moments that helped spark the modern gay rights movement. Let me remind you, that happened in 1969, 54 years ago. And to this day, we continue to have to resist draconian and unjust laws aimed at the LGBTQIA plus communities, and recently it's even getting worse. Yes, we have made some progress, but no, we have not made enough progress. Just look at the more than 400 anti-trans bills that legislators have introduced since the beginning of this year. 400. In the U.S., more than 1,200 people every year are victims of anti-gay hate crimes. 1,200. Just last year, around the world, 350 transgender people were killed in hate crimes. 47 of those were Americans, and any one of those 47 could have been my kid. 1 John 4:20. If you say you love God but you hate someone, you are a liar. For you cannot love God whom you have not seen, if you hate your neighbor whom you have seen. As a minister in the South, I am here to tell you, one thing you can bet on here in the Bible Belt is this. The minute you talk about the need for equality for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people, someone will interrupt with a loud comment about religious freedom, somehow believing that they speak on behalf of all people of faith. And I've actually seen it more than a few times just this year. Yeah, as a minister, I understand the critical importance of religious freedom. It's something our country was founded on. That's why it's already protected right there in the United States Constitution. The problem is that a small but vocal contingent of people of faith try to equate freedom of worship or freedom to worship with the freedom to discriminate. The conviction is misguided and contradictory to the Constitution, not to mention to the teachings of Jesus. Time and time again, Jesus made it clear that we should not put ourselves in the place of playing God, that God loves us all equally, and that all are to be made welcome and accepted and loved. The message of Jesus was really all about love, equality, and justice. As Christians, as those who place value on the teachings of Jesus, it's vital that we include all people rather than exclude anyone. Sadly, in this nation and in places around the world, that is not a claim that can be fully made. And it's up to us to make this a more just nation, a more just world even. We can't be as just of a society as possible if our LGBTQIA+ friends, family members, and neighbors are left vulnerable to the discrimination in so many spheres of life. If we wish to be known as a people who follow the teachings of love, we must be shown to be people who actually do the work of love. When it comes to queer rights, this means you should lend your voice to the movement. It means you should show up at Pride events and celebrate queer lives. It means you should educate yourself on the issues. It means you should write your representatives and tell them that you've noticed that as a nation, we say we hold these truths to be self-evident that all people are created equal, but that we don't treat all people equally, and that you've seen it to be particularly true about the LGBTQIA community. Tell them that it is time to ensure that no one in our nation faces discrimination because of who they are or who they love. Tell them that it is time to put LGBTQIA+ non-discrimination laws into place. It means you should speak up when you see or hear someone being abusive towards LGBTQIA folks. Do not allow someone to assume that your silence in that case is consent. Speak up. Just remember, as it says in our scripture reading today, if we love God, we should love our neighbor as well. So speak up. Those are some of the things that you should do. But let me share with you one thing you shouldn't do if you're trying to follow the teachings of Jesus. If you're trying to embody love in the way you go about conducting your life, that one thing that you shouldn't do is believe that the Bible says being gay is a sin. You know, over the decades and centuries, Christians have used the Bible to support, promote, and act upon some pretty unchristian things. Slavery, Holocaust, segregation, subjugation of women, apartheid, domestic violence, all sorts of exploitations. And that list could just go on. Many Christians have lost their way in this twisty-turny maze of how to practice our faith. They would much rather reinforce the things they want to believe than believe the sometimes difficult teachings of Jesus, who, on a side note, never said a word about homosexuality. As others have pointed out before, Christians tend to use the Bible as a sex manual, among other things, telling them what is and isn't acceptable in the eyes of God. Doing so allows them to define, at least in their own minds, who it is okay to judge. As a result, who it is okay to direct all kinds of nastiness and holier-than-thouisms go alongside of it. The reality is that the Bible is not a sex manual. I know, shocker, right? And actually, it's sort of a good thing. Well, depending on your particular level of sexual prudishness, and personally compared to the Bible, my level of sexual prudishness is pretty high. You see, the Bible not only promotes marriage between a man and a woman, but insists that the marriage be within the same faith. And not only that, a wife should be supported. That's in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. But she should also prove her virginity, lest she be stoned. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 20 through 21. Oh, and the whole thing would probably be much better if it were arranged marriage. That's Genesis 24, verses 37 through 38. And that's just the warm-up pack. According to the Bible, if a woman's husband dies and she hasn't had a son, she must marry his brother and have intercourse with him until she has a son. That's in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 18 through 27. You know, sometimes biblically wives are good, but concubines are better. Many of the men of God were not only married, but at least three of them had more than one concubine. That's Abraham, Caleb, and Solomon. But like I said, biblically wives are good. And there's no such thing as too much of a good thing, right? So, why not have many wives? God frequently blessed polygamists, Esau, Jacob, Gideon, David, Solomon. And on top of all of that, the measly seven places in the Bible that some people claim to be anti-LGBTQIA+, can only be understood that way through poor translations and not contextualizing the scripture. And honestly, the Bible seems to be a lot more upset about people usually. The bottom line is that time and time again, Jesus made it clear that we should not put ourselves into the place of playing God, and that, unlike far too many humans, God welcomes and loves all equally, period. The bottom line is when religion isn't practiced with intelligence and compassion, it can easily be used as an authoritative confirmation of biases. Without critical thinking and the innate valuing of individuals, perverting religion outlooks to suit personal prejudices is far too easy. And you add to it the dogmatic environment of most churches, and they can be the perfect petri dish for growing cultures of hate and queerphobia. 1 John chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. There is no fear in love, for perfect love drives out fear. To fear is to expect punishment. And anyone who is afraid is still imperfect in love. We must love because God first loved us. If you say you love God, but hate someone, you are a liar. For you cannot love God whom you have not seen, if you hate your neighbor whom you have seen. If we love God, we should love our neighbor as well. We have this commandment from God. Love is only fully love when it is put into action. Love is only fully love when it is put into action. So let us continue to put into action our love for LGBTQIA plus folks and their communities. Let us lift them up when others attempt to put them down. Let us show up when others try to shut them out. Let us speak up when others speak out against them. Let us lead the way with our presence, with our persistence, and with our passion. Let us lead the way with love.
If you're gay, then you're gay. Don't pretend that you're straight. You could be who you are any day of the week. You are so unlike the others, so strong and unique. We're all with you. So if you're straight, well, that's great. You can help appropriate your many little babies for the whole human race and make a world where they live in. Cause we're all somewhere in the middle. We're all just looking for love to change the world. But if the world stops spinning tomorrow, we can't keep running away from who we are. If you're gay, then you're gay. If you're straight,
Let's take a moment to turn inward for a prayer, a meditation, or simply accept some of these words, grab all of the ones that you need in this moment, and contemplate on them. Let us bow our heads together. In a world where you can both love your family and love Reese's Peanut Butter Cup ice cream, it can be difficult to truly understand the love we are called to practice. With so many ideas and understandings of love, we provide ourselves with a buffet of choices for how to treat our neighbor and still be able to believe we're treating them with love. May we be reminded that Jesus was never so broad in his definition of love. He taught us to care for those in need, period. To bind up the brokenhearted, period. To feed those who were hungry, to clothe those who were naked, to visit those in prison. No ifs, ands, or buts. Love, true love, the love to which we are called, the love about which Jesus taught us, knows no bounds and sets no limits. May we be encouraged to be more loving, with each person we meet to show more love to those in need and to share our love in ways that may help make this world a better place for all people. And when our earthly desires and our human instincts get in the way and tells us to protect what we have, even as others have all too little, may we be inspired to a life that practices love more unconditionally. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with creation and with each other, knowing that we are one. And may your life be full of love and happiness. And may your actions and words bring that love and happiness to all of those you meet.
Love is free.